A distant hike when I can. Sometimes this means getting up early, staying out late, to get as many miles in as I can. Sometimes walking in the pitch dark with a low light headlamp seems spooky. I grew up in the wooded areas. I've slept under a canopy of stars more nights than I can count. I've trekked literally thousands of miles of trails, riverbanks, lake shores, ridge bottoms, bogs, and creeks. I've hunted the game. I'm establishing this because this is very important for you to understand. I've seen, heard, smelt all about this region in terms of what it has to offer with wildlife. My scariest experience so happened at about 4:30 in the morning. It was late spring, so the first morning light wouldn't be visible from the treetops for another 30 to 45 minutes. Another hour passed until sunrise. I was on mile 5. I'm in a low bottom that's wedged between the two steep ridges. The trail I'm on was narrow, muddy, and completely hemmed in by thick underbrush, young maple and oak. I'm confused, but focused on a small light with my headlamp. And I did hear what I think I did, a loud crack. I freeze solid. This is a part I'm having trouble describing. 4:30 in springtime means I am the only thing making noise. No birds chirping, nothing. It's literally dead quiet. Mid-step I froze. Now, it's just me and my fight or flight reaction. The fall instantly flashes in my mind as I stood there bracing myself into silence. If I hear that again, I'm turning round and leaving in a hurry. Why? Because that sound was not a branch breaking, nor a deadfall. It wasn't a widowmaker. I was damn sure that whatever did that done so intentionally towards me. Hearing it twice, well, God. To describe it as best I can, it sounded like a big piece of wood being violently smashed against a tree. More like a baseball bat, to be honest. The distinction in my head being that this sounded like a crack, not a thud or thump, as I have described it as an explosion. It's such a horrifying sound to me now. So I stood there, completely spooked. I realized the soon-to-be worst part of my situation. I knew where the sound come from. I knew where the trail went. In about 30 yards, I was gonna come to a 180-degree turn and start up the ridge going away from the creek. This meant, as soon as I got the courage to move towards the noises, I was gonna have to turn back to it and get up that ridge. I'm nervous now. My head somewhere between meth find murder and Bigfoot. Minutes pass, I just breathe. With the fog misting off on my glasses. And there's nothing. Dead quiet. I've got about 30 minutes until first light. I crank up the headlight and start to slowly creep to the 180-degree turn. When you wear a headlamp in the woods at night, every branch can cast a thousand shadows. Without moonlight, there's little help. I get to the turn and quickly make the bend. I'm moving pretty fast now, trying to be quiet, taking tiny shallow breaths. Then I smell it. A stench hits me that I can't describe. Imagine being dead, rotten and cold and wet. I've actually worked scenes with humans who have expired in the past, and this was worse or similar. I kept walking fast. By the time I made it to the top of the ridge, I'm huffing. The first light's here. I didn't stop moving until the full light was out. I've never heard it again in the woods since then, and I've never had a smell like that before. I honestly have no idea what the hell that sound was, or what could have been strong enough to make it. few years ago, when I was 17, I just graduated from high school and got my first job at a Christian camp near Yosemite in California over the summer. Mainly the people I worked with were great and really sweet Christian college kids, the good kinds. There was one guy though, I would say he's Carl. I didn't frankly like him. He was tall, handsome, charming, had golden curly brown hair and a smile that could stop your heart. His eyes though, they're dead. He never got those little crinkles in the corner of his eyes when he smiled, which suggests that it's not a real smile. It was like the top half of his face died. There were things I did not like about Carl off the bat. His eyes for one, the dead of his smile. He never asked for anything. He tried to twist your arm. He just very softly, very slowly, tried to manipulate the situation to feel as though you owed him. Each time, it felt like a part of my brain shut down, like a slamming door, almost like I'm powerless to say no. I get along with most of the little cliques of the camp. No one really dislikes each other. As far as I knew, we just kind of broke off into groups based off what we like into our free time or who we like the most. Carl, though, seemed to make friends one-on-one with a clique. By the time he left the group, it was decimate. They were fighting, not speaking or trusting each other. I know this isn't a lot of evidence, but I'm trying to take a good picture mentally and describe it to you. Now one day, everyone in the camp decided to go Fenzo. We tried out a lot of camp food and wanted real dinner, maybe seeing a movie or go bowling. I was off work last. Now, at camp, we had a sign out sheet. Being so close to Yosemite, we often went hiking, so if we had left, we put our name down, along with where we're going, when we left and where we should be back, and when. This way, if anything happens, the search teams know where to go. So, I put all my info into this sheet and head down to the parking lot. My friends had all divided up into their cars, and I jokingly asked if they forgot about me. They said Carl had said I could ride with him. I look around and I don't see Carl, although I seen his name on the sheet. All of the hair on my body stood on end. I was terrified to get in the car with this guy alone. He felt so wrong, just off. Just not right. I don't know how else to say it. My friends were telling me I have nothing to worry about and everything's gonna be fine. I saw Carl walking towards the parking lot with that dead smile on his face, and everything in me was seeming to get scared. I said that I was tired and wanted to stay in tonight, and Carl laid the charm trick on me, telling me what a night it's gonna be. I owed him because of God knows what, with this dead smirk on his face. I refuse. He gets mad. Told me I don't need to be such a horrible person. Finally, everyone figured out that I wouldn't be persuaded. I hugged one of my girlfriends goodbye, whispering in my ear not to ride with Carl back. When they all left, I walked back to the area with the sign out sheets to cross off my name, since obviously I wasn't going anywhere. I saw the sheet, saw where my name was, and my heart dropped. My name had already been erased. Where I live in college, I have to come back a long way to get to home. It's literally states away, so I'm used to driving for hours on my own. This is often through heavily forested roads, with little to no other cars on the journey. Now I don't mind, I just play some podcasts and really enjoy my time normally. However, one night would change that forever for me. So it was the end of semester, and I was ready to set off like normal, and I check my phone and I have a text off my mum. It says, "Be careful. I don't know why I have a really weird feeling about tonight." I laugh about it and think, yeah, she's always paranoid like that, and set off at around 10 at night. I should be home by about 5 in the morning, that means, so I can get in, sleep, and enjoy the day with my family. So I set off and all feels normal. I've got my music playing and I'm having a good time. Now I don't know why, I suddenly have this weird feeling come across me. I notice that my radio starts to act up too. Not like normal interference though that I've ever heard before. This is almost like it's being jammed. I just laugh and quickly switch my phone to podcast mode. Aliens are not going to stop me today, I laugh to myself, and I continue onwards. Now as I'm driving, I haven't seen one other car yet. But, lo and behold, there's some kind of light as I'm approaching a bend. I slow down thinking it's another car, making sure I don't have an accident. But it doesn't seem to move. I think this is odd. As I get closer, I realize that it's just a torch. It's been placed on the side of the road. It's as though a person's just put it there to look like a car's headlights. I think that's really odd, but decide to keep going, thinking maybe a road worker left it there by accident. I don't know, it could happen. Now as I'm driving, I switch the radio again to get a weather update. And I realize that the same jamming type thing is in place. I really don't want to worry myself and think I'm just being paranoid, so I press on. Now that's when I see the same thing up ahead again, except there's two. What given it away is that one was dimmer than the other, but it was the same orange type of glow that the torch had from before. I'm certain that it's just going to be some road workers doing something, so I decide to slow down and roll my window down to let them know that they've left a torch on up the road and it might be dangerous to other drivers. As I do so, I see some people in high-vis jackets. When I'm slowing down though, I have a horrible feeling that something isn't right. My car slowly comes to a stop, and I decide to put my full beams on. I know some of you are going to moan at me for this, but I didn't care about temporarily blinding someone to see what was going on. That's when I see it. There's 5 people wearing high-vis jackets, but something looks off about this. I can see that the people in the background are wearing all black and a high-vis jacket. That just isn't right. I'm confused as to what's going on. Why on earth would they wear all black and a high-vis jacket? It's almost like they're not actual road workers, but the two at the front are. I call out and say, "Hello, are you guys from the government?" And there's no reply. As I'm waiting there, a horrifying grin comes across one of the workers' faces. As my eyes have adjusted to the darkness, I can see that there's more lights in the background. And I can see that the torches have been placed there just the same as before. Then suddenly, I can hear the sound of rustling around me. To my left, I can see that there's a group of people coming from the tree line. And, almost on cue, my headlights go back to normal mode automatically and I can't see the guys in front of me. Just as it goes off though, it gives one flash of light and I can see that the people in the trees are carrying a lead pipe and other objects. This is the most scared that I've ever been in my life and my fight or flight kicks in. I desperately jam my car into reverse and floor it, panicking not knowing what to do. As I do so, it illuminates the silhouettes of at least 8 other people on the left side of me, waiting, coming to the tree line. As I'm reversing out of there, to my horror, they all come into the road and just stop, staring at me, all dressed in black. What's worse is that as I'm screaming, the light suddenly goes off from the torches, and I can't see them any longer. I immediately do the quickest U-turn of my life, and start heading in the opposite direction. I'm trying to get through to the police, but I've got no signal. I speed the rest of the way home. In a terrified state, I'm crying to my mum. I don't know if they've followed me or what. I made damn sure to get out of there as quick as I possibly could. I then file a police report. The worst thing? My mum doesn't believe me about any of this. She thinks it was just sleep-induced hallucinations. And that I was so tired I imagined all of it. That was about to change though when the police arrived, and they told me and my mum that they were so thankful for the report, and they've been tracking down a group of people who pretended to be road workers to then try and kidnap people. Apparently someone else nearly got caught earlier in the week, but sped away too when they tried to grab her. It just makes me sick to think that there's people like that out there in the world. But the fact that I was miles into deep forest with no one around to help if I needed it then. It was only God's grace that I spotted them and didn't actually get out. About a month ago, I moved into a house near the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia. It's very secluded. Everything was great up until about a week ago, when this strange thing started happening. Not like paranormal, just strange. So I knew moving in, I'm gonna have about an acre to myself, which is nice. The acre itself is just about all thick, dense woods. Towards the back, you can't even go any deeper, because the land is too rigid, and the trees block a clear path into anything. Now I live alone in this tiny home. My brother and his dog are moving in a couple of weeks. The house is pretty small. It also has a basement with a sliding door to the backyard, which has a tiny little fence that can be knocked down completely if someone's trying to get over it. I decided that I was going to start fixing it up until my brother's dog becomes well trained. Now this is when the first creepy thing happened. I left to go to Lowe's just to buy one classic lump of wood for a fence, just enough to make sure a dog can't get his head over it or leap past it. Now as I was coming back home, I noticed a man on my doorstep. Looking inside through my window, even though any person could have heard me pulling into the driveway, he doesn't flinch at all, even when I slammed the door shut. Eventually at this point, I kind of uneasily said, can I help you? To which he replied, I'm just your neighbor and saying hello. I went out of my way to put the wood I was carrying in my hand down on the ground, and went to shake his hand and he didn't move again. He just stared at me. After this weird encounter, I was more just done with him, so I said that I'm very busy and I'm fixing my fence and it's nice to meet him. He stayed at the front of my house though for about another 2 minutes, watching me put all my wood inside the living room, looking into and around my house in the process. I'm thoroughly creeped out now. I just closed the door in his face and went about my business. About 2 days later, into fixing my fence, another woman, this one looking nicer, and having put a little appearance into her look, greeted me kindly, telling me about herself. I'll call her Miss H. Now she started to talk to me, explaining how people don't normally move around here, and I was the first in about 11 years. She went on to explain the rest of my neighborhood, whom I knew are around the same age as her, like to stay to themselves. After a pleasant talk with Miss H, I asked her, what's up with the guy that I saw earlier? She said that, well, he's about 6 foot, which you probably know. Old, but not too old. Probably mid-50s and brown eyes, decent shave and grey hair. Miss H went on to explain that the person who lived here before me was a widow, and her teenage daughter, who was homeschooled, had left because this perv started to stalk her. She gone on to say other things about this weird man, and eventually left it at that. Now, last night, I thought I heard a tapping on my window at exactly 2:37 a.m. I knew this because I looked at my clock. Now, my window is a good 4 feet above the actual ground, and below it, I think it's just a figure of a bird or something, and maybe it's casted its shadow trying to get in. But no less than 2 minutes after silence, this happened become three loud bangs. I immediately ran to the closet, grabbed my hunting .22, and hid under my bed. Peeking over, I see a figure looking in. After being scared for my life, I hear the familiar voice of the perv shouting, "I need your help." Not knowing what to do myself, I threw my curtain open, and the only thing between his forehead and my .22 was a half inch of my glass. He didn't say a word. Not "don't shoot me," not "I need help," not "oh hey." He then pointed behind him to the fence. I then ran outside to see what he wanted. I still have the gun on me. I said, "What's wrong?" He said nothing, pointing to my fence. I look over, and this time I saw the fence had seemed to have been run over by a car, with mud tracks everywhere. How on earth had I not heard this? I look at the 50-something-year-old cars, of whom there were dirty tire tracks that could have left this. I'm annoyed at what I saw and yell, "What the hell?" And then pull my finger on the trigger. When he finally replied, "That's your fence, isn't it?" jumped in his car and quickly sped off. It's currently 3 p.m. on March 2nd, and I've scraped the entire fence idea out of sheer exhaustion and fear. This is really happening right now, and I'm really not sure what to do. What I'm about to tell you happened 2 days ago in southwest Sweden. It was around 5 p.m. in the afternoon, and I decided to meet up with one of my friends. We have moped scooters and drove to the grocery store to get a snack for our small trip. After that, we head towards a beautiful sheep pasture that I had been to once and wanted to go to again. It's located maybe 15 minutes away from the center of town. After a while, we come to a narrow road surrounded by a forest, since it rarely drives any kind of vehicles out there. I started to drive in the middle of the road, and sometimes even on the part of the road for approaching cars. One time, when I looked in my mirror, I saw my friend driving close to the edge. At first, I thought she was making a point that I should keep on my part. But then, she drove even closer to the edge, almost going in a ditch. I stop and wait for her to catch up. We're both kind of laughing, and I ask her what happened, and she said, "I got distracted by something weird by a tree and forgot the turn." We laugh and continue. Later, when we sat in the sheep pasture eating our snacks, we started talking about it again for some reason. I asked what she saw, and she described it as some kind of wooden plank that was nailed to a tree, and that it looks like a figure, person with just holes as eyes. My reaction was, "Oh yeah, really?" And we decide to relocate it on the way home. We stop by the roads and I turn off the engine. When I look up, I spotted it right away. It was hanging in a tree, looking dead. Now, I immediately think of some cults that are known to operate in the area. Maybe they were worshipping this. I don't know. I have a picture saved on my phone of this, and I'm really thinking of reporting it to the authorities. Something just doesn't feel right about it, though. I have a horrible sense of evil when I look at this. I hope nothing too bad's happened here. I even got told that this could be a grave for something, as part of some of the sacrificial rituals that can take place there. I'm not really willing to go back to find out, though. When I was 8, I went camping with my mum, stepdad, and my little brother. We were all in the same tent. I remember getting up in the middle of the night to go for a pee when I was walking back to the tent. From the tree line, I heard, "Mike, Mike, do you want to go for a walk in the woods?" It sounded exactly like my mother's voice whispering, and I could see the silhouette of whoever it is whispering, and it looks like my mum. But I knew she hadn't left the tent where she's sleeping. I remember my heart pounding, like I knew it wasn't my mum and something more sinister. But I respond, "Yeah, 1 minute, let me grab a coat," because I didn't want to upset them. I then heard, "Hurry up." I got inside the tent and woke up everyone in a panic. My mum and stepdad told me that I must have sleepwalked, but I remembered it so vividly, I knew what happened. I knew it wasn't in my head. I'm terrified of the woods now. This is actually true, by the way, and I try and tell my mum every now and then that I saw and heard it, but she kind of dismisses it. I don't really believe in supernatural, like ghosts and such, but I genuinely believe I almost got kidnapped that night, and my parents didn't want to accept it happened in some ways. Or maybe they just didn't believe me. I was car camping with friends on the Oregon coast at the designated site in the woods. While I was carrying firewood, our camp neighbor came up to me offering to help, and then introduces himself to the group. We invite him over for a beer, and it turns out he's called James, and he was a retired boat cook who used to work on fishing ships in Alaska, but now he's traveling the West Coast and staying in campgrounds. James was a kind of quiet guy, but as the night went on, he started acting suspicious, not really interacting with anyone, staring off into open space and getting up, taking a step or two, then sitting down again. Now it started getting pretty late, and we're all getting ready to go to bed. I usually sleep outside in a sleeping bag without a tent, unless it's raining or something. So I get up in my sleeping bag and move away from the fire before passing out. I then wake up to Jason standing over me with a weird look on his face, and my friends start freaking the hell out. It turns out that they all thought he stumbled back over to his campsite, but no. Instead, he went over to me and started stumbling and rolling around. I was angry and tired. We kicked him out while I went to sleep in my friend's tent. Now, at this point, I feel I have to say that these things might seem like warning signs, but I didn't really think too much of it at the time. Maybe he was drunk and lost, who knows? Now, the next day, we all pile into a car to explore the town, and as we leave, we saw James sitting in the campsite, just staring at a lantern across from him. We're gone for about 3 hours when we get back, and Jason's still there staring at it. Now, we're all making dinner late at night when he stumbled over with a bottle of vodka and apologized for being so weird the night before. My friend accepted his apology, offering him a burrito. James proceeds to start drinking the vodka and eating with us. Completely different guy now. Really embarrassed for the night before and sorry. But as the night's progression hits, I thought he's gonna do something weird. He was acting a little off, but maybe it was due to a touch of alcoholism, and probably he's just harmless. Now after dinner, I was sitting on a log with my back to the woods facing the fire, and my friends are all arranged around the campfire on chairs on the other side. James is actually still with us and sitting on the log next to me on my right. Between me and the group, we're all having a great time laughing, but as the night goes on, James is getting more quiet and seems really angry. Around midnight, I glance over and notice that he's actually mumbling to himself. Now, I'm the only one close enough to him to sense this change, and I start to try and figure out what he's saying. I follow his gaze and notice that he's staring intently at the axe to the left of me. I don't want to spook him by moving, but it's about this time that I hear what he's saying. And he's talking about stabbing us with his knife, over and over again, talking about killing every one of us with this knife. He has this horrible glazed look. I lock eyes with my friend across the fire, and he notices too that something's really wrong and stands up. I grab the axe and run as fast as I can to the other side. Jason gets up and starts running towards us. My friend, who's a big guy, grabs him and holds him while my other friend takes his knife. We debate about packing up and leaving, but end up escorting him back to his campsite and sitting in the car until the morning when we can report it. The next day at sunrise, when I head over to the camp ranger station, I notice that James has actually completely gone with all of his stuff, even though he already paid for more than a week. Now, I've done my fair share of deeper backcountry stuff and seen bears, heard weird noises, and even thought I saw a Wendigo once. But to this day, this is by far the most strange thing that's ever happened to me. I went camping with a group of friends on some public land that I knew quite well. I spent a lot of time out there trail riding and camping most weekends for about 3 years. While there, we set up camp at a spot we used a couple of times. On this trip, there was 6 of us, and 4 of my friends decided to go to a party we found out about while on the trail earlier. I was tired from digging my Jeep out of a sand washout that I had no business diving into. Anyway, my friend's girlfriend decided to stay at the camp with me when everyone else left for the party. We watched a fire die down and listened to the animals. I got a kick out of her being afraid of coyotes making noise on the other side of the swamp. I assure her it's fine, they're miles away, they can't hurt us. After a bit, we get into our sleeping bags. As I start dozing off, she asks me, "Did you hear that?" I just ignore her and try and fall asleep. A minute or two later, she sits up again and asks, "Did I hear it?" And I say no, go to bed. Then, not even a minute later, I hear what sounds like an ice cream truck on the trail we're on go by. This trail is on a one-way, about 3 miles long, that ends in a clearing, and we're a good half mile into the woods. We also went to the end of the trail after we ate dinner, and there wasn't anyone on it. No one drove past us either. I didn't hear any engine noises, only creepy music, not to mention the trail was a rutty mess, so even a vehicle with a reasonably quiet exhaust would be revving high enough to be heard throughout the woods. I didn't tell her this because I didn't want to scare her, but it scared the hell out of me. Why in the heck was there a Jeep thing or ice cream truck driving past at this time in the night? And why the hell did it actually have sound coming out of it? Obviously nobody wants ice cream now. My theory is that it was actually something much more dark and menacing. Some weird people out there trying to lure in kids, or maybe just try and get attention to kidnap someone. I've heard of people using recordings in the woods before to try and capture people, and I think that this is the same situation where we just got lucky that I knew how to handle it. Now I have a pretty good through hiking crew. We've done pieces at the AT, some Florida swamp, and a good amount in Maine. We consider ourselves pretty experienced. Two of us are in the military, the other two are just fun to have around. So that being said, we emphasized preparation. This was probably 2015. We planned a 10-day trip in WVA along a river the week after Christmas. This is probably our favourite time to camp because, one, we're all alone. There's not too many people around. Two, no one is stupid enough to actually camp where we do, and three, bugs aren't around. We've done this trail before and felt comfortable with the forecast. The highs are in the 30s and the lows are in the teens. Nothing we can't handle, so we set off. Weather's great. The trail we're on is a 26-mile loop, with hand railing most of the way. We eventually got to the spot we mapped out on the second day, about 14 miles in, and get ready to chill and do man stuff for a week. We rock out into the woods doing the usual for us, cutting wood, hopping in the river, hunting, fishing, writing, etc. Now we've been out there before, and had explored maybe a 3x3 grid square radius, and we didn't see, hear, or sense anyone else. Things start to get gnarly though. I'll get into the paranormal first. It's 5 a.m, and we're getting into our morning routine. One of the guys heads down the 10 meters to the river to catch breakfast. One starts checking on the NOAA forecast over the radio. One starts to unfreeze our water filter, and I'm pulling out the morning's firewood. I'm restarting our fire as it gets brighter, and then notice there's this gorgeous pair of black labs rummaging around our campsite. Pleasantly surprised, we're all pumped to find some pups, because we're idiots. None of us questioned where they came from, and within seconds, this raggedy looking guy appears out of nowhere behind a tree, shotgun on his shoulder, sweet jean jacket on, and a cowboy hat. He says, "Morning. Be great to have a fire, huh?" The way he said it was chilling. It felt like we could see right through him. We ask him how he got here. Mind you, the sun is barely peeking through the woods. We're 14 miles into nowhere. No park rangers around or anything. We've not seen a trace of anyone for 5 days. The man says, "Well, nothing," looking at us, now turning to walk further into the woods alone. And we stood there dumbfounded. When we find our pulse, we immediately start looking for where this guy come from. Which direction was he heading? Obviously, we find nothing, not even tracks from the dogs. But now the survival part. We had snow in the forecast for most of the week, which we had almost every day. Not too much, maybe only 4 inches through the week, but we noticed it started to get warmer. We laying down for the night checking our nightly NOAA forecast, and they're talking about snow coming in for the night. No worries in our mind, at least it's not rain. False. We had limited cloud cover the day before, and the air was still pretty warm that night. It snowed, and that turns to rain. We hadn't taken rain precautions, because we bedded down since we're just expecting snow. So we wake up at 3 a.m, tent flooded, firewood soaked, packs and boots dripping. We get up and start getting an emergency plan together. Temperatures dropping, we're wet. Precip turns to ice, and apparently it's gonna be like that for the rest of the day. So we pack up everything, trying to sanitize our area, but one of the guys starts going down. He's really lean, so he's pretty susceptible to cold weather injuries. We all get our dry clothing off and get him warm. We propped up a makeshift shelter, a trap and emergency blanket while we finish getting ready to step off. We rock 14 miles back to our car this morning and drive the 4 hours back to Nova. The weirdest thing was how that guy got out there on his own. I don't understand how there were no tracks around him or he could have went. For all I know, he could have died out there. But that's what confuses me. No one in their right mind would be out there with just dogs, with summer clothing on. We all realized it after, but we're pretty sure that he was not from this world and belonged to the ghost world. But I don't want to say it myself because how stupid I think that is. I don't believe in the paranormal, but I don't know what else it could have been. I do a fair amount of archery hunting when the weather permits it, and trap rabbits about 3 times a year. But I think the craziest thing that ever happened to me was while I was following some deer tracks. I've been tracking the herd for a couple of days, not planning on capturing one, just to observe one. So I'm hauling around a tree stand with my tent and bare essentials. That's before my pup got unwell. I'd bring her, but it had to be a solo trip this time because she's poorly. I generally let her tell me when I wasn't noticing something, but without her, it got fairly creepy pretty quick. I noticed I'm losing the light and rub my face in frustration. I wake up suddenly. I was just laying down with my tent and everything set up. Firewood under me and a rip in my jacket. Nothing else to show for it, except that it was way darker than before. I checked my watch. I've got roughly 3 hours to sunrise. I wonder who set up my tent? I don't understand it. They did it differently from how I normally do, but it wasn't in my usual formation. All of the zippers everywhere are open. It truly unsettled me. I decided to leave immediately. I don't know if I was drugged and this made me fall asleep, then somebody set up my tent, trying to make me not notice anything was different or what, but it was more than enough for me to leave the area immediately. Okay, so I have no idea exactly what I saw that night. I have searched everywhere for sightings or even myths around that area we saw it and found nothing. If anyone has any idea what we saw, please let me know. My husband and I think it could have well been a Wendigo, but I don't know. I haven't heard anyone else say they've seen anything like it. I guess more than anything, I want to know what I saw and have some closure. So anyway, my friends and I go camping a lot, and my favourite place is the Red River Gorge, Kentucky. We go there often. I've been going there since I was an infant. I'm 28 now, married with a kid and still go. It's the coolest place to go where I live, and you can actually see the Milky Way pretty much every night. I mean, it's perfect for stargazing, and I've seen a shooting star every clear night that I've been there. When we go there without our kid, we might have a hike and stargaze for hours. Our first experience happened when we were night hiking, and we would go on trails we knew well, and we used frequently during the day. Ones with log fences and gazebo resting places. The most used trail is in the National Bridge State Park that leads up to the Natural Bridge. The trail is around 2 miles uphill, depending on where you're starting. Now I've done this trail every summer of my life, and could do it blindfolded. It has wooden steps, carved rock steps, log handrails, multiple sitting points under a roof, trash cans, but after reaching the main trailhead, there's no lights at all. It's used often, and while it's uphill and the difficulty's low, as long as you have a good grip on your shoes and water, you'll be fine. My friends have done it with me multiple times, and we're confident as hell at it. Hiking this trail at night is not allowed, but the woods have never really been a problem for me, and no one really cared about the closure times. When we used this main trail to hike to the top, we would park in a lot designated for the pool and Hoedown Island. You walk across the road that leads to the pool, and you're at the first trail marker. You go up the gravel for a while and pass the Natural Bridge State Park Lodge. There's a waterfall and some lights, so it was best to go fast and watch out for rangers that would tell us to leave. Then walk across another road, and there's a mini shelter to sit on or a small rock where you can rest your legs. Then it's the beginning of the top of the trail. The night was weird to begin with. As soon as we started the hike, the clouds took over and it appeared we'd be walking for nothing even to stargaze at. But we went anyway, just in case it cleared out by the time we get there. In the beginning, it was normal, and paranoia was kinda setting in, but eased up a little. You know you've reached the bottom of the bridge when you see a giant limestone wall. Now during this time, there was a gazebo that set to the right of this wall, and the trail continued and followed next to the wall. When you come far, there's a fairly steep part of the trail, and the gazebo is welcomed. Now my husband, my best friend at the time, and I all sit on the gazebo steps. The bench is under a roof, and even darker than the rest of the outside, so we just stayed on the steps, facing to where we're looking downhill at the trail that follows the limestone wall. We each have a bright LED headlamp and a handheld flashlight. We don't usually look at each other when we night hike, because the lights are so bright. We sit in a line, like the Lord's Supper, and walk in a line staggered so we don't blind each other. It's after hours at this point, so no ski lift rides had gone on for hours, and the rangers had already done the sweep and left before we could get there. We left no time between them making sure the trail and the top were clear, and start our hike. The ski lifts takes you to the top, but there are workers that stay and do counts and only leave after it's clear. I guess I have to make these points because that's what I was thinking when what seemed out of nowhere, a girl with a headlamp begins to walk down the trail. This is kind of odd really. She's in a sundress and flip-flops. This hike is uphill, and while it's fairly easy to hike up, it's not easy to do without real shoes or water. She'd have to have hiked up and down to get to this point without food or water, which is a massive challenge. Her light seemed almost blinding too. When she reached where the trail turns from in front of the gazebo to down where we came from, she stopped. She just stood there, how a human is presented in an anatomical drawing. She was looking directly at us all sitting there, and her light made me bring my head up. It was so bright that I literally had to shield my eyes. She didn't turn away from our light at all, or even seem bothered. She had 6 LEDs shining directly at her face. I say hello. She said, kind of with a pause between every word, something like, "Hello, how are you?" I said something like, "Good, how are you?" And she took an even longer pause before saying, "Oh, I'm fine." And she just stood there with her hands to our side, facing down, staring at us. Her light made it impossible to really see her face. It was unnaturally bright. I have my hand up the entire time to not be blinded still. Until she turned and slowly walked down the trail part we just came up. She got to the part where the trail turned, and we saw her light just stay in that one spot for a minute, until she turned and the light faded out of sight. We wait for a while before continuing up. I kept making comments about how weird that was, and had anybody else just seen this? And was I being overly paranoid with my fear? And why did no one come after her? Why had she done this all alone at night? And somehow without being found by any ranger? We got up after a bit and started back up to the top. It felt like it took much longer than it ever had in the past, but we made it to the top. There's stone steps named Fat Man Squeeze that you get to at the top of the bridge, and you can walk across it and whatever. Going up and being on the top, we can hear twigs snapping, almost alternating from left to right. We lay down and stargaze, but the clouds are thicker now. It was miserably hot, and we can hear voices at the same time. My husband kept checking for people. He never saw anyone. We see a flashlight, but we never see anyone attached to it. And then we hear a bird call. It wasn't like a real bird noise at all. It was like someone making bird calls, rhythmic and not natural. I'm convinced now that we're not alone, and hadn't been alone at all during this. And to say this is a lot because I'm not easily spooked. I asked to leave as soon as they're done. They then tell me that they're ready to go right then and there, and that scared me. It showed that I wasn't imagining all of this, and they're just as scared as I am. We began going down the way we came from, and it felt like it was taking so long. We were going steady and quick, and it was downhill, but we were not making any ground, it seems. It's hard to explain, but it was so weird to the point that I said aloud, "This feels much longer than it should be, and everyone agrees with me." I keep looking behind me with the flashlight, and my husband kept looking out to the sides. I kept feeling watched and couldn't figure out where the footsteps were coming from. It sounded as though they're coming from all directions. I would turn my head in the direction of a sound and not see anything. When my husband was walking, he kept saying he was catching eyes in the flashlight. Usually you catch a raccoon's eye spying on you. But he was afraid maybe it's a bigger animal, like a bear or something. And even weirder is that he never seemed to catch contact with it truly when his flashlight went over it. Now by now, we're hiking down a semi-flattish area, compared to the downhill hike we've been doing at least. The log fence or handrail or whatever it's called is on our right side. Now, we're walking in a row, within reaching distance of this barrier, and my husband just stops walking altogether and says, "What's that?" But the question is more of an alert than a question. I move my headlamp in that direction and don't see anything at first. Then, both of his lights catch a shape, and then my headlamp also does the same. I move my headlamp to the center and catch it while my friend simultaneously finds it in her lights as well. All six shine on a kind of reflective gray creature. It's bent in a crouching position, kneeling on its front leg, and it starts turning towards us. It starts to turn slowly, and my mind is racing. It looks like a human, but it's too big. People mistake human shapes for what's actually bears, but this is skinny. It's thin and big, and almost white. It's so light grey. Its skin resembles that of a dolphin. There's a shine to it, and our lights get reflected a little way when they're on it. It gradually comes to a standing position in front of us. Its head is long, and its eyes are in a human position on its face, not on the side like most animals. We can't see other facial features, just big, almost empty holes or pits where its eyes are. It looks directly at us in our lights. The way it stood is almost intimidating, almost like when a snake raises up and flexes their necks in a wild fashion to show how strong and smart they are. It was like it was stepping up for a fight, from crouching, then standing directly in front of us. The arms hung down so low, the hands seemed way too long. Its hands had to be by its knees easily. I guess it stood 9 feet or so, and not that far in front of us. No, it has no hair at all, and its head is large. I couldn't process what I was seeing. I was truly frozen. Then, I just feel my husband hitting me, yelling, "Run!" I start to understand we have to get away from this thing, and it pivots and runs to the right, going backwards on the trail so it could get around the barrier and onto the trail behind us. We take off running the rest of the way down the trail, knowing that this thing just took off much faster than us, and after it had crossed from behind the barrier, it would be gaining on us quick. We didn't talk at all because we tried to figure out what was going on and knew it wasn't good to draw attention to us. We kept running as fast as we could, but some areas are steep. It literally never feels as though we're out of sight from this creature. And we made it to the trail beginning with the gravel, and we can hear something to the side crashing down through the forest. We ran until we got to the car, then drove as fast as we could, and as soon as we got to the main road, we're finally out of there. When that thing looked at us, I knew it was smarter and faster than us. I knew that if we didn't react, something terrible would have happened. We made it back to where we're all staying, and all of us took out our phones and wrote a note of what we saw. We haven't spoke about it until after, and we all looked at each other's phones and the stories are all exactly the same. Red River Gorge is a beautiful and huge park full of wildlife, rock climbing, waterfalls and dense forests, gorges and beautiful views. The place feels truly isolated, disconnected from the rest of the world. One evening, my boyfriend Dee and I decided to go camping at the gorge. We went out and tried to find a campground that was as backwards as possible. Sites were spread far from each other. Our site, that was on the edge of a very steep drop-off. We arrived at sunset and quickly set up. By the time we're fully set up, the sun had set, and we begin making a fire. About 20 minutes into relaxing, we begin to hear howling that doesn't go away, and it doesn't sound like it's far from us. We're both freaked out by the realization that there were wolves nearby, but we tried to not overreact and continue to sit by our fire. 10 minutes later, I start hearing a faint yelling about 15 feet away past the cliff's edge. Now, I told Dee to be quiet and listen, and we're both frozen out of fear. A woman was now screaming. I couldn't make out any words at that point, but it was a deep, gurgling shriek, a noise that I've never heard a person make in my life before. Then I heard it. She was screaming, "Help, please someone help. Someone please help me," repeating this over and over again, howling at the top of her lungs. I'm terrified. She could have been turned around in the dark and fallen off the cliff. She could have been attacked by wolves or a bear or bitten by a snake. At this point, we both sprinted into my car, frantically climbing inside, locking the doors. I try calling the police but have no service. I threw the car in reverse and sped down the dirt road to find anyone that could help. The shrieks continued. I didn't make it far before I found 3 young men standing on the edge of the forest. I slow down and crack my window, still hearing that woman begging for help, and asking the men if they heard that. How could they have not heard it? I told them it was a young woman screaming in the forest. Then, two of them went sprinting into the darkness. Without questioning me or anything, the other one just stood by my car, assuring me he had no idea what was happening. While the two men were somewhere in the forest, I drove further down the dirt road until I found a spot to turn around at. When I came back, the screaming had stopped, and the men were back by the side of the road. I slowed down and asked them where the woman was, and one of the men that had run into the woods said, "Don't worry, it was actually just a kid messing around." I just said okay. I drove back as quickly as possible. We left the campsite and went straight home. Once out of the woods, we called the local police station multiple times to no answer. I know it wasn't a child. I've never heard such primal screams in my life. It made my skin crawl and my heart race just thinking about it. What did those men do that night? What was I a witness to? I live just where farmland meets the edge of the suburbia, on an island off the coast of BC. The climate here is subtemperate rainforest, so the natural and untouched landscape is incredibly wild, dense and lush. I'm keen on endurance cycling, and I take full advantage of the trail network in the forest surrounding my area. I work long hours, so most of my winter rides are in complete darkness with my trusty trail light. One section of my home trail winds through a rainforest bog full of hundreds of trees. They're huge. It's absolutely beautiful in daytime. It feels like a magical place with shafts of sunlight piercing the fog, hundreds of different species of flora, and there's so many wild animals out there. It's really beautiful. Now at nights, my gut starts tightening as the thought of passing through this mile-long section of trail appears. One day about a year ago, I was lucky enough to get a chance to go for a ride through it, so I took it. It was cold and very rainy, with few other people out on the trail. I had packed thermos of hot coffee in my backpack, and I thought the rainforest-style bog was the best place to take a rest as any. Now, I chill out. I have an interest in botany, so I was looking closely at the lynches growing off of the huge Douglas fir. But suddenly, I felt distinctly not alone. No biggie. Lots of people use a trowel, although not many are out there that day because the weather's so wet and cold. And that's when I heard it. A meow. That's odd because this isn't a good place for a cat to be alone. We have cougars and bears, but I hear a meow again. Except this time, it was canned and robotic sounding, like somebody playing a bad audio file of a cat. My gut starts to clench. It just sounded wrong somehow, and I can't figure out why. My hands were shaking when I unzipped my backpack to put my coffee thermos back in. I felt waves of nausea roll over me, and the air suddenly felt dense and thick. I was in a rainforest surrounded by trees and moss, but I felt like I can't get enough oxygen. I hadn't seen anyone for at least 10 miles, and I was distinctly aware of how far I was, and I couldn't really get any cell reception here either. Now, I hear the same meow again, but this time closer. I've never heard a cat like this before. It sounded like an imitation of a cat or a person saying meow. It was so tiny, cold, and robotic. I now know that without hesitation, it's time for me to go immediately. I was panicked on the inside, but can't show fear, so I casually slung my leg over my bike and start riding. As soon as I got out of the bog, I ride the rest of the way home like a bat out of hell, glancing over my shoulder every few minutes. I can't see anything. I will never forget this experience for as long as I live. I've had some pretty disturbing things happen on my night rides, but nothing ever like this. I hate the fact that clearly something was imitating a cat, and I'm sure it was a recording. God knows who was out that deep into the forest too. I just hope I don't encounter this again. I used to love going for long hikes in the forest near where I live. I usually did it on summer's evenings. Yeah, I know this probably isn't the safest thing to do, but I always had my hunting rifle on me anyway. I mean, I'd be stupid not to. All it takes is one wild animal to go for you, and if you're unarmed, good luck to ya. So anyway, I set out one summer's evening. I had my iPod playing some really chill songs and I felt really good about myself. I can't really get cell phone signal where I go because the trees cover it, but I like listening to my music. Now, I was a good 40 minutes into my hike. There was enough moonlight for me to see where I was going. That's how I normally planned my hikes, when the moon was out at its brightest on the most clear days, so I can see everything. I'm really enjoying myself this night. I found true tranquility. I decided to stop for a minute, take off my headphones, and just pour out some of the hot chocolate I had in my flask. Now, the second I do this, I have the feeling that I'm not alone, and I can't describe this feeling. It's almost like I'm comfortable in my own presence, but I don't want to be joined by anyone else. And this unsettles me. I just think I'm just being a little paranoid. I say to myself, thank God I've got my rifle. And I could have sworn I heard a laugh afterwards. No, it must have been just an animal, surely. So I go about drinking my hot chocolate. As I do so, and I'll never forget this, I hear someone whisper behind me, "Mind if I have some?" And a terrifying laugh follow. Now the next few seconds is a complete blur, as I fumble, fall over getting up, grab my rifle, and scream myself, and sprint in the complete opposite direction to where I heard the voice, and back onto the trail. I try and scream out that I have a gun, but I can't get the words out. What's worse is I hear rustling behind me. I continue sprinting up the trail, only to slip temporarily again, and now on my back. I lay there wondering whether it's better to pretend I'm still. I look behind me, and I can see what appears to be the butt of a cigarette lit in the distance. Well, looks like I'm gonna keep moving then. I get up again, and scream I have a gun and I'm not afraid to use it. What's worse, I'm sure I hear laughter in the distance after saying this. I sprint all the way back to my car. I don't even bother going back for my flask or anything. I immediately get on my radio and call it into the park rangers in the area, who say they're gonna check it out and they want me to show them exactly where it is. I say you've got no chance and speed out of there. And the whole drive home, I can't stop thinking, who in their right mind was out there? How long were they stalking me for, and what on earth did they want? They clearly weren't mentally sane, whoever or whatever this was. Now, I don't believe in the paranormal, but this could have easily been something like that. Because why would you be out there with no torch or anything? Maybe it is an insane person. All I know is that I never got to the bottom of it, and I never went out on my own in the woods at night again. My normal shifts were during the day, 9 to 5 like most people, but on that day, we were short-handed, one night, because the last person who worked during those shift hours had just quit. We had lately had a lot of people quitting on the night shift, so that meant I have to cover. Weirdly enough, I had never had to work the grave shift before. And I was actually up for it. I brought some coffee and 5-hour energy with me because the hours ran 10 to 5. and there was no way I'd make it through that naturally. I get to my tower right before 10, when it's already pitch black, and the cold July night had set in. The tower was fairly tall, with several flights of stairs leading to the top. The whole thing surrounded by thick forest, except for the trail I came on, and a murky pond that was just to the right of one of the tower's legs. The pond itself was covered in those little frog pads, and had algae floating over the surface. It was actually quite big for a large natural lagoon. I climb up, and all I can hear was the non-stop sound of crickets, frogs, and an occasional owl. When I hit the top, I fumble with my keys until I finally find the right one and walk in on it. The one room was small and square-shaped. Three of the walls were mostly glass, and the other one was opaque, and had the door I just came in. The roof went up like a pyramid for a short length until it peaked. It was all made of wood. To my left was a nicely made bed and a nightstand with a lamp and flashlight on top. Not like I'd be using the bed though. On the wall next to that is my CB radio and communication stand, which every one of those towers had. Next to that sits my refrigerator and microwave, which was part of a small kitchen that extended to the other wall as well. Inside the kitchen on the right wall were several cabinets, some small ones that held snacks and some canned foods, and another set of giant cabinets that I couldn't open, which likely had vacuums and other cleaning supplies. I went over to the communication stand and did my standard check to make sure everything's working properly. I called into the ranger station and said, "Well, Donnie, it looks like it's just me and you tonight." Donnie doesn't reply, so I figured that he's just out somewhere. I went and grabbed the flashlight off the stand and reached into one of its drawers, pulling out a set of binoculars from it. I went back out to the balcony and checked to make sure no fire hazards or any other kind of dangerous things were going on over there. Once I checked that off my to-do list, I headed back inside and pulled out the chair from the communication stand. I then started to assemble it, putting it up by one of the glass walls, grabbing a granola bar from one of the kitchen cabinets to munch on. I put the binoculars up to my eyes, looking over to the surrounding forest. It didn't seem like any animals were out and about, and no birds are in the sky either. I skim over a couple of clearings and make sure that no teenagers are camping illegally. Then I peeked over at a far ridge where I see a snowman standing alone in a gap of trees. Wait, it's July. I peeked again to see it's not a snowman. It's some kid in a ghost costume. It looked like the one from Charlie Brown, with big holes for eyes. The kid was still, staring in my direction, unmoving. I couldn't see the kid's parents anywhere, and now it's rolling up on 11, so that meant something's up. I broke contact on the kid and walked to the radio, calling into the station. "Donnie, you there?" "Hey, I'm there." "Yeah, there's some kid in a blanket walking around the southeast sector, alone." "What the hell are you talking about?" "It's a ghost costume." "You mean the Charlie Brown one? Can you check it out?" "Yeah, I'll go up. I'll call on the walkie-talkie." So I turned off the radio and crossed over to the nightstand drawer to grab the walkie-talkie. Once I had it, sat back down in the chair, I put my binoculars on, zooming in to where the kid was. The ridge is empty, with no sign of the kid anywhere. I'm pretty confused by this. I pulled up the antenna on the walkie-talkie and dialed the channel. Hey, Donnie, can you hear me? Yep, loud and clear. I'm getting close to the sector. I'm heading up for a vantage point. Perfect. That's where I saw him. But he moved on. Well, I'll just check around to see if I can find anything. As I watched Donnie come over the ridge, waving his flashlight around in the dark until he looks towards the tower and shrugged. Well, nothing here. Damn, hopefully he turns up again. Until then, I'll notify the police and look for missing reports. Alright, I'll go back to... Donnie's voice cut out, and I saw his flashlight turn off in the distance. The small lit up spot where he stood is now swollen in darkness. Donnie, you there, Donnie? I have no response. I rush quickly outside and around to the corner where I saw him. I yell his name, only to hear my echoes. And then it hit me. There's not an entire other sound in the entire forest. The crickets and frogs have stopped. The wind doesn't rustle the leaves. Everything's completely still. I can hear my heartbeat throbbing in my ears, and nothing else. I move my flashlight around in the woods in some futile attempt to find him. God. I got into that state of mind where I'm so afraid my throat closes, and if I move, I feel like something very bad's gonna happen. I have to do something now. I turned around. And as I did so, I glanced at the stairs below me. At the bottom stood a skinny, horrifically aged woman. She's tall, dripping with water, with black hair, dark murky blue skin that stretches across her skin. I can't believe what I'm seeing. Her jaw appears broken. She then lets out a blood-curdling scream. I ran inside, slamming the door, locking it. There's no way she could run that fast, even if all her bones were new. I ran back to the kitchen, grabbing the biggest knife I can. I scream into the radio, Donnie, where are you, goddammit? Then I hear creaking of a door. I slowly turn around, and I froze when I saw what was there. The door was still there. Locked and shut, and had been completely undisturbed. What scared me was the once locked giant cabinet now stood open, with a kid dressed like Charlie Brown there. I'm just frozen until I hear that little kid move and giggle. There's no way. I pulled off the sheet to see one of Donnie's kids, Marvin, sporting a walkie-talkie there. Saying, Dad, I got him. Haha. Really scared him, right? He and his son laugh from the other end of the walkie-talkie. I then say to him, I can't believe you got that stupid girl in that zombie outfit. You must have got that from some kind of studio shop or something. By now I'm sure that one of his friends works in special effects. And they just got something from a film set. My what? Does the ghost look like a zombie from that far away? You said it looked like Charlie. No, not the ghost, you idiot. The woman on the stairs. She screamed and ran up the stairs so quick, like an Olympic runner. Dean, I didn't put no woman on the stairs. Upon hearing that, would have been the night shift for the next couple of weeks until they found a replacement. My friend quit and vowed to never return to the park again. To this day, he swears that either Donnie never told him about that part of the prank, and that he saw something else entirely unrelated. I began to question my own participation in night shifts and consider myself lucky that I've only been on it a few times while stationed at the north and eastern sectors.